There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the hour and, of course, streaming online at fmtalk1065.com. You, of course, could get more information at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, mostly on Facebook because Leanna's in charge of that, and it's fantastic. Twitter is, well, it's me, so it's not as fantastic as a Facebook page, but I try my best. And Instagram, when Dalton finds something to take a picture of, but that he's taking tons of pictures of that new baby. Just maybe we put those on the, what do you think, D? Put those on the Instagram page. As he's, if y'all hadn't heard this morning, we've been talking about it. The now a dad of two daughters. And just if you look at the count here, if you look at the count, the breakdown in his house is 3-2. His dog Murphy, he's got a male dog. It's he and the dog versus the three women of the house. So, Dalton, I wish you well, because we're tied in our house, boys and girls, and same breakdown in the two dogs. And I tell you right now, even at a tie ball game, we lose. So I'm just warning you. All right, so let's get into it today. As I mentioned just a couple minutes ago, that I would be joined by my friend Cameron Smith, and really a buddy of mine. And you read his work in AL.com, also with the Triptych Foundation, and lots to talk about today. I know at some point, they probably won't pry us away from talking about Friday's football game, but before that, we'll talk some politics and more. Cameron, what's up, man?
Hey, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's I'm not even get into the new year thing. Like, oh, it's 20. I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to take a wait and see attitude when it comes to 2021. Maybe by March, I'll score it. But right now, I'm not scoring it yet. So, but I'm good. Let's talk, a lot to talk about here. Before we do, I want to talk about your op-ed over at AL.com. People can check out, speaking of Twitter, the link there, so they can check out the full article on my Twitter feed. But before we do, Josh Hawley announcing today that it will be him on the Senate side that goes with Mo Brooks on the House side. And January 6th, they will do exactly what? Explain when they talk about this process, and I've talked to Congressman Brooks about it, but I'm still think people need to hear, what is the process? Are you decertifying, blocking the Electoral College? How does this thing work?
So the process is basically, you've got a joint session of Congress. They're certifying the results. Mike Pence is in the chair, and they're going state by state and just essentially going through. And if a member of the House or Senate objects and they have someone from the opposing House joining them in the objection, then the House and Senate basically break up and debate the measure or debate that state certification and then vote on it to decide whether to certify or not. And to not certify, you would need essentially a motion to pass the House and the Senate. Obviously, it's not going to pass the House just based on the numbers. And given the numbers in the Senate, it's probably going to fail there as well. So this is largely protest theater and has been pretty much every cycle. But the fact you've got House and Senate folks that will agree on this, it's a delay, but it won't affect that Joe Biden will be the results will be certified, and Joe Biden will be on January 20th inaugurated the next president of the United States.
You know, and that is the talking about it for weeks. I've been talking about it with folks that pragmatically that's what's going to happen. I said Joe Biden will be inaugurated. That's right. It doesn't mean that that I don't see all the other issues we're talking about, but just if I had to call Vegas and wager, if I was a betting man, that's what would happen. But what do we say, because you're talking about the protest theater here, you're doing theater for an audience, right? You don't do theater, unless you're Strange, if you don't have an audience. So there's an audience for this. And oh, I mean, a big audience for it.
Oh, yeah. And this is the whole, are you going to fight for Trump thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. I mean, I understand why people would say, hey, you know, we like Trump. We want you to back and support Trump. And the cost is relatively low. And I understand all of the, you know, foaming at the mouth coming from the liberal media saying that, well, this just destroys our democracy. Well, the only reason that I think that claim has any merit is if you have absolutely no evidence that there's anything amiss in a state that would change the result for that state, you just shouldn't object. Even Newt Gingrich said, hey, if you don't have more evidence than what we have right now, you probably shouldn't do it. What's happening is this forces a vote for folks to put their credibility on the line. If they say, I don't have any evidence to believe that the results are not accurate for a given state, and they challenge it anyway for partisan reasons or to, you know, show a Trump loyalty thing, that's bad leadership, it's bad policy, and they shouldn't do it, but I suspect some will.
But what do you tell folks that say, hey, well, what about these, because people say, well, they've been, you know, no court has heard, you know, they've not won a single one of these cases, then I look further, and then maybe that it was not deciding on the facts of the matter, they were just saying that these cases didn't have standing or whatever. And people look at this, and whether it's an allegation out of Georgia or something out of Pennsylvania or Arizona, they go, what about that? Are we going to just let this go? We're going to not further investigate? Is there a certain amount? Is it like the margin of error in a poll that there's a certain amount of fraud that's okay in the system? I mean, I'm not asking that rhetorically. I'm really asking that.
No, I mean, it's not okay, but we do have human error. We do have, you know, folks that conduct malfeasance in almost every election to some degree. And what people have said is, well, if there's any of it, well, then that's evidence that the election was turned the wrong way and should go for Trump. But, I mean, there has been crazy stuff put out there about this election. Like, most recently, the president tweeted that the Secretary of State's in Georgia, his brother works for a Chinese company, and they don't like Trump, so conspiracy. Well, the only problem is that the Secretary of State in Georgia has two sisters and no brother. And so that's just a Google quick fact check, and it's false. And all of this stuff's getting mixed together, swirling around. And what I'm finding is a lot of people that are saying, well, I want Trump to win. So anything that affirms my perspective that he should win is true and factual, and I will pass it on. And anything that suggests that Joe Biden actually won the election is false media propaganda from big tech. And that's just not accurate, but we've let people believe that. And frankly, the president continues to push that, and people want to believe it. So they're acting as if it's true.
Let's talk about the how it works after spending the time you have in Washington. It's so what do you think happens to Senator Hawley and let's say, I don't know, what do you think, two other senators that will join Hawley? First of all, how many do you think it will be? Do you think it'll be Hawley by himself, or do you think it'll be Hawley, Tuberville, Cruz? I mean, what do you think?
Well, it's kind of interesting, and people have asked me about Tuberville repeatedly. Well, Tuberville ran on one thing. He ran on, I'm going to back Trump, and that was literally it. There was no policy agenda, it was, I'm with Trump. And so why, in his sort of first opportunity to give Trump what Trump wants, which is for Tuberville to stand up, it would be kind of weird for him to be like, nah. And the only reason it would be no would be that Tuberville looks at what's out there and says, hey, we had a process. This is how we sort this stuff out. It's how we've done it every cycle. I don't like the results, but I don't have a credible reason not to certify these election votes. And he could certainly do that, but the political pressure on him is significant to just kind of go along with it. But honestly, they're all, if you only have one senator that objects, is enough to force the vote. So even if Tuberville doesn't stand up and object, he's going to have to vote anyway.
So what actually happens with, you know, the danger of not getting, if somebody was in a position seniority-wise to look for a key assignment, right, a committee assignment that really helps them for their state. And because remember, y'all, the senators are there to represent their states. I know that gets lost in the mix here of alliances. But if they had to risk that, would Mitch McConnell take those away? Or on the flip side, could Tuberville, is there any belief that something could be offered and say, hey, Tuberville, if you just stay quiet, you know, you will get this appointment. I mean, is it that blatant in Washington or not?
Sure. I think with Hawley, I mean, look, nobody really wants to know how the sausage is made.
I do.
There are traded deals all the time. And frankly, there's nothing wrong with that, of saying, hey, I'm in a position to offer you this. I can get the votes to make sure this happens. If you'll do this for me. Okay, I mean, that is certainly the type of deal that could be out there. But with Hawley saying he's going to object to Pennsylvania and whatever other states he's going to engage, it's a little bit different in that it changes the dynamic, because if a vote is going to be required anyway, then everybody's going to have to be on the record supporting or opposing that certification. And I think that takes away some of the incentive not to be there, because no one wanted to be the first one.
Right.
But if somebody's going to be out there, you're going to have to vote anyway. And so I think it changes the calculus a little bit for somebody like Tuberville to say, hey, look, I'm objecting because I support Trump, and I'm going to have to vote on it anyway, so I might as well. And that McConnell's probably not going to ding him for that.
Yeah, so I mean, McConnell's nightmares happened with Hawley, right? I mean, what he did not want to have, because he was trying to protect, I'm sure, many senators from having to take this vote.
Yeah, I mean, because I think there's a lot of senators who are sitting there saying, I don't see any evidence here that these certifications were wrong. Yeah, sure, maybe there's an issue here or there with somebody not being able to oversee a ballot, but we have not seen any provable evidence of, hey, Pennsylvania's vote is just wrong. Now, you may argue the policies or their own laws or how they did it, but there are a lot of senators who are going to look at that and say, I don't have any good faith reason to oppose certification, but now it's going to be look like I'm opposing Trump, and they don't want to take that vote, and I don't blame them.
Do you think any of this will be, I mean, obviously, if you're worried about getting primaried, having this come up, or is there worry about Trump comes back, in 2024, and I'm going to make you pay for not standing up for me?
Yeah, political memories in the United States are pretty short. And so, particularly for somebody like Tuberville, where you've got 6 years, Trump will be much older at the point where he could have an impact on Tuberville. And I think that's the kind of calculus that people make. But, of course, Trump is going to be relevant. The question is there anybody that's going to step up as a leader and be like, I want to go in a different direction than the way Trump was going? Trump's no longer the president. Follow me. And if we don't have somebody to fill the void, Trump's going to continue to be sort of this voice in the background. And there are a lot of people who really like Trump who are saying, run again, run again. I'm kind of tired of really, really old people running the country, because it hasn't been going so great.
All right, when we come back, my friend Cameron Smith will put a top age limit on running for the presidency. Plus, we'll talk about the headline here, America's Failed Political Leadership is Your Fault. It's y'all's fault. Talk about that next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1224, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. The segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey, making junk disappear in Mobile and Baldwin counties for 12-plus years now. And here's how it works. Okay, you can identify the junk. That's your job. That's your only job here. You identify the junk, okay? It could be inside your house, outside your house. I'm not saying anything about that giant trampoline in the backyard, but they could get rid of that too. Could be at an office, storage unit, anywhere you need to have junk gone. you can get it gone with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And here's how simple it is. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, set up an appointment timer, pick up the phone, grab that Sports Illustrated football phone that you've been holding on to all these years, and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And when you do, you can set up an appointment time. They'll work with you to find a time that works for you, window of time that works for you, a day that works for you. They understand you got family, you got work, you got all this stuff to do. Well, they'll find a time that works for you. They'll come out, they quote you a price on the job. You say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. So see why you see the trucks going all through Mobile and Baldwin County with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Do what those folks are doing. Get rid of the junk and get a little head start on your New Year's resolution to get organized. Get the junk out of there. Makes it a lot easier. Check them out. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, resume our conversation with Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation. We've got a few minutes here before we go to the news break and talk more about this. But let's set this up. Your headline here, America, people don't like to hear this now. America's failed political leadership is your fault. Why is it my fault, Cameron? Why are you blaming me?
Well, hey, you're unique. You're special because you, like millions of other Americans, tend to, you know, and me, tend to believe the other guy's the problem. That it's the one that I don't vote for that is really the issue. But the folks that I cast a ballot for, they're great, no problem. And as long as we believe that, it's going to be really hard to change our trajectory, because guess what? Nancy Pelosi doesn't care what you and I think, because she's in California and we're not. And so I think the issue is, well, what are the leaders that you're talking to that you support, what are they actually doing to, for example, end the spending like a drunken sailor thing? And are you just buying into the drama? And I pointed out the fact that Trump, for example, came out and opposed all the pork in this omnibus spending thing, talked about all the foreign spending and said, you know what, this is awful. Give people $2,000, take out all this pork. Let's get serious. And then I kind of looked at it and I said, man, that sounds familiar. All those, that pork stuff he's talking about. And I looked at his fiscal year 21 budget and realized all of those items he had asked for in his White House budget that he submits to Congress.
The same things he railed over. The same, the specific
exact things.
Well, what about the gender studies in Pakistan?
Like Prego, it's in there. this is a situation where and everybody got lit over those Pakistani gender programs, but that's in Trump's fiscal year 21 budget. And I had people emailing me about it and saying, well, show me. And you can go check out my article. It's linked. Yep. I linked to the specific pages.
I looked at it
in the budget. And they're like, you know, well, he probably just didn't know about it. I'm like, it's his budget. He's accountable for it. And the idea that the president doesn't know what's in his own budget is way more troubling than, you know, even the fact that he's a hypocrite. But this is exactly the kind of drama that we bite hook, line, and sinker because we want to, instead of saying, hey, you know, a Trump supporter being like, that's not right. You shouldn't do that.
Well, I bit hook, line, and sinker because what the president was saying, right, without knowing the hypocrisy, until I read your article came out a few days ago. When I was what he was saying, I was like, yeah, you dang right. Quit wasting money.
Yeah, and he is right about the pork, but he asked for it. And so the fact that he's right about, hey, this is an insane amount of spending, we really need to kind of rein it in, it is going out of control, that's an accurate point, but he's absolutely part of the problem based on his own budget that he sent to Congress. And that's the kind of thing people need to be aware of and say, hey, that's not a good deal. You can still like Trump and recognize that he's being a hypocrite here. And I don't think a lot of folks see that.
Yeah, you're right. Coming right back, more with Cameron Smith from AL.com. You can check out his story linked up on our Twitter feed. And we'll talk about, from the president on down, voting for, you know, look at Alabama. Talked to Congressman Byrne about it yesterday. He said he had to vote for it because there's more good than bad. We'll talk about that with Cameron.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Get right back in our conversation with Cameron Smith and grab some of your text here. First, though, I want to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM and talk inventory and specific new vehicles just showed up.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, we got something a lot of people have been looking for. We got a 2014 Chevrolet cargo van, long wheelbase, local one owner. It's got all the metal racks inside, but a lot of people don't want the metal racks. We could take them out, but like I said, it's a local one owner, and it's ready to go, and they're almost impossible to find, and it's below $10,000.
I like both things there. What else is on the lot? What showed up?
I also just traded in a 2009 crew cab Chevrolet 1500, two-wheel drive. Like I said, it's a crew cab. It is also a local one owner. Got hard fiberglass tonneau cover on it. You know, sitting on Michelin tires, just ready to go. And then we just got a 2007 Ford crew cab four-wheel drive with below average miles, and we sell it for under $10,000.
All right. You got a lot of people's attention. Tell them how to come check out these vehicles in person.
Highway 90 at Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. Continue our conversation with Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Cameron, I'm looking through some text here, too, as we go through this. This texter says Cameron Smith would fit right in on an MSNBC program. So, you know, can you talk about how long you've been engaged in conservative politics?
Forever.
Okay.
It's literally been my entire professional life. And in terms of things to limit the scope of government, conservative policies, I'll put my track record against anybody's in terms of impact on conservative policy ideas. The fact that, you know, there are a lot of folks out there that anytime somebody questions Trump or Republican leadership, they're now not conservative anymore. It's just bonkers.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's something that has changed going forward where, critique of conservatives over time, I've done and not gotten the pushback. But it's not you said that. You can say these things and that's not anti-Trump, but if you pretend like they didn't happen, you're also not being honest. You know, and that's the key. That's the key to life, let alone, I would argue, politics.
Yeah, and this was driving me nuts, the idea that you're more loyal to the president than you are your own spouse. Because I have never met anybody who's married who looks at their spouse and says, whatever he or she wants is unequivocally right and just and true, no matter how weird it sounds. Like, no one ever says that. Now, my wife, who I love above all others, I'm going to find a lot of different ways to back her and support her. But when she's wrong, I'm going to be like, sweetie, we should talk about this. And that's the same to me. But the idea that President Trump is always right, and there's always an excuse for whatever he wants to do, whether it's a good idea or not, is wackadoodle Looney Tune. And you heard me correctly, wackadoodle Looney Tune. And it's just not serious.
You know, John on the text line also is and he realized my feigned outrage at your headline, because I've been saying this for a long time. John said, bad government. It's your fault, Sean. You've said it over and over. Sean, if it's truly your fault, because you get the government that you deserve. And I've been saying that for a long time, even before this radio station started. We do. We do have to take responsibility for who we elect.
Oh, unequivocally. And this notion, the one that I struggle with the most is Democrats, at least I know with them, they want big New Deal style programs and all this big spending. But they also want to take a lot of your money to do it, right?
Yeah.
They're very much...
As much as they can get away with.
Tax and spend. Yeah, tax and spend party. I'll take as much as I can get, and I'll spend all of it. Republicans are like, well, I want to spend all of it, but I want to borrow it because I don't want to raise your taxes. And to me, that's actually, in some respects, worse because the math doesn't work. And that's where I find myself. And, this is something that we have to have a reckoning with Republicans. We have to say, are you serious, or is this just an exercise where we follow a leader, whoever it is, Trump or somebody else, and then hope it works out?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things I was all over Bush on for all the years with Bush, is that, you know, he would talk this game about, you know, lowering taxes, and at the same time he was spending money. And I said, I can't pretend like this is not happening, because it is. You can't, I mean, it's this thing, we're going to lower taxes, but there's nobody saying the unfun thing is we got also right-sized government.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's basically spend what you got. I'm not saying we should have no government. I'm not an anarchist. But I am saying that when you're spending basically, last year, we roughly spent double our revenues.
Give them the numbers.
All the money we had and then did it again without any revenues. And if that's the model, that's terrible. That's not remotely conservative. It makes no sense. And the wish list Republicans who say, I want all the stuff, but I don't want the pain point of having to pay for it, don't tell me about the dangers of socialists, because that is far more dangerous than any threat of some amorphous socialist coming into our space.
What do you say, though? Like Congressman Byrne on with me yesterday saying, listen, there was a bunch of trash in it. I mean, he was, you know, absolutely. But he said, there's more good than bad. I have to make this decision. Basically, I have to hold my nose and vote for something like the omnibus.
Well, look, leaders, and I say this in my piece, because I think one of the biggest lies that we're being sold by congressional leadership is that we have to have a last-minute omnibus that is do or die. And that gives every member the excuse to say, well, I just had to. There was no option. No, this is terrible leadership. The idea that, you know, you have to fund government every year. We play chicken with it, but the truth is we know we're going to do it. So let's go through that process. Let's get that done earlier. That's a scheduling issue on the logistics in Congress. But leadership likes the big stakes, winner take all, because you can hide a bunch of garbage in it. And so any congressman that's saying, well, I guess I just had to, that's a lie. You didn't have to. You can go kick your leadership and say, hey, why don't y'all put these bills on the docket, get them through a regular appropriations process so we don't have these big omnibus bills to vote for. I guess I missed that from a lot of our elected officials.
Yeah, it's like hiding the peas and the mashed potatoes, right? I mean, to get the kid to eat them, you hide those things in there. Okay, let's talk about it. There's so much in this. I want people to read your op-ed that's linked up. But I get down to the dollars here. I am a one-trick pony on this. So let's talk about the amount. $600, $1,200. $2,000. I think I responded to you on Twitter the other day when I was on one of my rants about this. Why isn't it $10,000? Why isn't it $100,000 when it's? And I asked a congressman about it yesterday. He said it's actually not indexed to anything. It's there's not an index here. It's just a number that they agreed on, and then they either halved it or doubled it.
Yes,
I mean this doesn't mean so... like it's just a number. They said, okay, this. How about this?
Yeah, this is so stupid because here's the deal. There are a lot of people hurting, a lot of restaurant workers, retail workers, you know, a lot of folks that need a little help right now. And I'll be the first one to say, hey, we should, where people have lost their jobs because of government actions related to COVID-19, we absolutely should make them whole, do what we have to do to help them out.
Yep.
The idea that you didn't lose a paycheck through COVID, but we should throw money at you is stupid. And our elected officials are arguing, well, should we throw $600 at you or $2,000 at you? And this is just an arbitrary conversation of, let's just, you know, throw money at people, which all of us should be like, this is insane. It's a dumb conversation to be having because it's not targeted in any meaningful way. And so if we want to target it and say, what's the right amount, we can figure that out. It's not that hard. But the idea of, we should just give people more money because more money is better than less money. I mean, that's knuckle-dragging type stupid here.
Yeah, but I mean, what is, and I'm not just trying to pick fights, but I mean, what is the right amount? Because it's not indexed to anything. It's not like percentage of the average income. I asked all these questions. Is it a percentage of the average income? Is it based on, what the cost of living is? It's just... Why? I mean, people have suffered more than $600 worth. People have suffered more than $2,000 worth. There's people in this economy that have suffered more than $250,000 worth, $2 million worth. What does $600 mean to them, you know?
That's exactly my point, Sean. And I'm a policy nerd, and you know this.
Yep.
But there's a million different ways to skin this cat in terms of saying, here's a good way to help and support people who've lost their jobs and livelihoods because of what's happened. Like, that is a calm, reasonable consideration and way to do this. We're not doing that. We're just simply saying, well, Trump wants $2,000. Pelosi wants $2,000. You know, somebody else wants $600. And my point, and I heard Mo Brooks get out there and say, well, the $600 is one thing, but this $2,000 thing, I don't know how we're going to pay for that. My response to him is, how do you pay for any of it?
Right.
You don't have a plan to do that. So the idea that well, you can pay for 600 but can't for 2000, that's silly.
But here's the tough thing. This is the same, maybe a different chapter, but same book you and I have been reading for years. How do you get out there? It's a tough position, and, you know, some will do it, but not many, to tell Americans that, you know what, I'm not for that 2000. I'm for, you know, a lesser amount. Because you sound completely insensitive. You sound deaf. It looks like you have blinders on.
Well, the way I'd say it is I'm not going to steal from your kids. You know, if you don't need it, then why should I steal from your kids?
Well, because you're giving money to Pakistan. So this goes back to what the president did, until you pointed out that it was hypocrisy. But what he was saying got such a cheer from me and others that, when you have money to give to Pakistan, it not even something specifically in realpolitik. I mean, it's gender programs, not missiles or government, but you don't have the money for the American people. How do you do that? How can you exist in a world where you have these spending on these other programs at the same time you're going to short the American people? Now, I understand it's one item versus, you know, how many, what are we, 350 million Americans or whatever it is, but in just the retail politician world, that's a hard thing to sell.
Of course it is, because it's a fabricated theater that we're arguing about, because at some point you have to be an adult. At some point you have to look at this and say, we have to have resources to pay for things. And so if we don't have the ability to pay for something, man, we should really question whether we should do it or not. And I take the point of different spending priorities we can differ on. And I actually agreed with the sentiment, there's a ton of pork in this garbage omnibus, and we should have leaders who would be willing to do a normal appropriations process and weed out some of that stuff. And we don't. So we should just not elect them anymore. And I'm not talking about if you're in Alabama not electing Nancy Pelosi, because you don't have a say-so in that. But you need to look real hard through your elected officials and say, hey, have they led it all? Have they done anything that inspires me or says, hey, they've got a different trajectory in mind? And if the answer is not a resounding no, go find somebody who will, or do it yourself.
People will say that you can do that and you can rest on your laurels and feel all good about yourself, but the system's still going to move on with this deficit spending. Might as well get in on the melee, right? I didn't break the window at the shoe store, but, I mean, since it's open, those Air Force Ones, those St. Patrick's Day Air Force Ones look pretty cool to me.
Yeah, and that's great. Just don't call yourself a patriot. Don't act like you're really conservative, or you really care, or you care about America, if your attitude is, I'm going to get mine and get out. That's not the kind of leadership that we need. And I get it, folks. I've been negative on a lot of this stuff. It's easy to point out to the negative, but we also need the positive. We need people who inspire us. We need to say, we can do this together as Americans. And if our leaders aren't doing that, if they're saying the other guy's bad so I can do stupid things, then we need to fire them and find other folks. And it's as simple as that. I hate to say it, but I mean, so many of our leaders in Congress, I've worked there, are not inspiring, don't have a plan. They just like being elected and people acting like they're important.
I think I'm going to get that on a T-shirt. So the other guy's bad, I get to do stupid things. I think that may, yeah, this way, at least on a bumper sticker, maybe a T-shirt, worthy on that. Cameron, as always, man, I enjoy our conversations. People want to reach out to you directly. How do they do it?
You can reach me at @dcameronsmith on Twitter. You can find me at al.com/opinion. You can look up David Cameron Smith on Facebook, but it's like an alias. So as I've always said, look for the really good looking one, and that's probably me.
Happy New Year to you, brother.
Happy New Year to you, man.
All right. Coming right back. It's Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. During the news break, talking to my buddy Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I think we're on the same page. I don't know what 2021 looks like. I'm not going to get ahead of that, but there's going to be no tears seeing 2020 go into the rear view.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about that as we were talking. You know, a commemorative coin for 2020 would be exactly that, a rearview mirror with 2020 way in the distance. That would be the commemorative coin for this year.
All right, let's get to pressing that. Speaking of commemorative coins, I mean, we talk about the precious metal and the gold and silver y'all have, but beyond that, y'all have it in collectible, and it could be something, what, for to honor military service? It could be something as pop culture as Charlie Brown.
Pretty much anything and everything out there you can think of, we've probably got something that's either spot on or really close to what you're looking for or thinking of. Those military engravables are always extremely popular. We have a lot of the United States commemorative coins. They started making those in 1892, and they're still making those to this day. Those are always very, very popular items. And then, of course, like you mentioned, the pop culture items. We did that James Bond silver bar that they lit you up on Twitter about. Mm-hmm. And the one coming in, actually, it's shipped already, even though they said not till the new year. There is a 40th anniversary of Pac-Man. Who knew, man?
Oh, my gosh, we've gotten old. Holy cow.
I feel old when they say Pac-Man is now 40 years old. I'm like, it was just the other day.
Wow. Okay. So if you want that nostalgia for Pac-Man, you can do it. You can commemorate it that way. Also, come in, gift items aplenty there. And I won't even talk about Opinel knives. Give some people some ideas. They got a birthday, somebody to buy for coming up. What you got?
Even if you're buying for yourself, we've had a lot of folks coming in spending Christmas money. Gold and silver bars, gold and silver rounds, those Opinel pocket knives that we're not supposed to talk about anymore, at least for the moment. Morgan silver dollars, some really rare high-end proof and collectible gold and silver coins from the 1800s and on up. And then if you start looking at the jewelry, oh, wow, everything from beautiful engagement rings, gorgeous diamonds, to those little sterling silver earrings that are great for one of the kids in the family.
All right, tell folks how to come find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. Check us out online, mobilebaycoins.com, and sort of preview those 11,000 items we've got in stock here, and then come by the shop and see us in person.
I love it, man. Happy New Year to you, and we'll talk soon.
Happy New Year, my friend.
All right, there he is, Angelo, checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, I just got a heads up here from the folks at the Wharf. Dan's been talking about their annual New Year's Eve event. This note says, it's coming out, Wharf postpones outdoor New Year's Eve events to New Year's Day due to the severe weather threats, what staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams has been talking about for tomorrow night. So here's what they've moved the annual New Year's events, including the kids' confetti drop presented. So yeah, the whole thing. Okay, so basically what happens on New Year's Eve, as it was scheduled, has now been moved to New Year's Day. Starting at 4 p.m., they start the events, and it goes till... You got the event starts with DJ Silky Dalton at 4 to 9. Yes, DJ Silky. I don't know if he wears silks or not, or she. 4 to 9 p.m. kids activities. 4:30, the confetti drop. 6 p.m. flyby radio. Love that. Great band. 9 p.m. fireworks with the Spectra Laser Light Experience immediately to follow. Okay, so what they're doing here is basically what would be happening tomorrow night in the lineup that we've been talking about at the Wharf. This will be happening on Friday. Okay, so it's just moved a day. So there it is. There's a heads up. You can check out more information on their Facebook page for the Wharf or their Instagram or alwharf.com. All right, so check it out there. Oh, my gosh, so many texts. I don't know if we'll have – probably not have – I'll tell you what, I'll just answer y'all's text while we check out Cam Marston and what's working with Cam Marston. His show normally at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night because of Auburn basketball. Auburn, Arkansas tonight at 6. We've moved Cam to 1 o'clock. So he takes over the controls in the 1 o'clock hour. All right, so check it out there. Remember, you could always keep up with us online at FMTalk1065.com. Lucky for us, that address was available all those years ago. Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, we're all over that thing. More people with... I can't say that. You're saying blank 2020. I can't. We'll just leave it there. How about that? Blank 2020. Yes. Well, blank 2020. But I'm just, I'm still waiting. I'm just reserving judgment on 2021. People are like, I think, jumping to some unqualified conclusion that 2021 is going to be swell. I hope it is. I got to tell you, I pray it is. I really hope it is. We'll see. All right, what's working coming up next? 2 o'clock, Paul Feinbaum. 6 o'clock tonight, Auburn, Arkansas. Hoops here at FM Talk 106.5.